Well, hello to all of our wonderful leaders in the room and online right now. I want to say, I want to give a shout out real quick to Revive Church, too. They listen every single week, Pastor Stephen and his wife. So we love, let's give it up for them real quick. Had the honor to have lunch with him. Pastor Ben and I had lunch with him this past week, and he pastors a church in Arlington, and he was saying how he and his wife and their team listen to all these leadership talks. So that's beautiful. So they're listening in, though obviously these leadership talks are for our Shoreline City family. We let anybody jump on in. And today I have the honor, the joy, the privilege, the opportunity. I'm excited to announce who's going to be speaking. This individual, somebody I love and care about so, so very much, been very, very proud of him. He came, busted up on the side of the road. But the Lord has done a great work in his heart and his life. I had so much promise from the very beginning, heart and a desire to grow, and has continued to be incredibly teachable, has kept his ear tuned in to the voice of the Spirit and leaders around him, just trying to grow and learn. And I'm just so incredibly excited and proud of what God is doing in his heart and his life. He leads our youth here in Dallas, and he's got a heart of gold. He's got an amazing wife, and he's got a bright future, and I'm for him 110%. And his name is Thomas Donegan.
Let's go, Thomas.
Love you, Pete.
I love Thomas.
Love you guys, man. I am so honored. Pastor Earl said he was joking about me being busted up on the side of the road. He was not joking. When they first were like, hey, you know what? We see so much promise and potential in you. I did not see that in myself. Wow. And so actually, I'm going to talk a little bit about my struggle last year with seeing myself the way that Pastors Earl and Nika saw me. And so first and foremost, like pastors, I just want to like honor the two of y'all. Y'all have changed our lives. I literally adopted a boy with my wife 2 weeks ago. And unbelievable. 14-year-old boy, but what's amazing is we have pastors who like literally have gone before us in everything. And so I literally can't thank you enough. Like, you're the dad that I want to be every single day of the week. So I love you so much. But so like I talked about last week, like I was last year, I was really struggling with finding my place. Last year, for those of y'all who didn't know, my role, job title changed 4 separate times in 1 year. It was so much fun. It was crazy. And the whole time through that process, I was literally sitting going, okay, God, like, what do you want me to do? Like, what do you want me to do? What's my next role? What do you want me to do in this next season? And I felt like I would see people like Pastor Eric Sewing, right? Who's just an incredible leader. And I would see the way that pastors honored him. And I was like, man, I want to be like that. Yeah. Or I'd see like guys like Daniel Poku. And I'd be like, man, I'll never be like that. Mostly because he has a lot more melanin than I do, but he also has a great beard too. And full transparency, I haven't shaved in like 3 days. And as you can see, for those of you who are online, it's completely clean. So there's no hope. Still praying for it in, but still haven't hit puberty, I guess. But last year, like I just kept praying, like, God, what are you calling me to do? What are you calling me to do? And I think as human beings, like, we think a lot in times of terms of like end game, where it's like, man, if I could just get that job promotion, then I'll be good. If I could just get to that place, then I'll be good. If I could just get that job role, then I'll be good. And I think I realized I had like an identity crisis, because my goal was to come on staff at Shoreline City. And then I got there and I was like, okay, but now what? I was like, I knew I wanted to be here. I knew I wanted to be in the room. I love the people here. The energy is incredible. The Spirit is moving. The youth here are second to none. Yeah. Like, the way that we raise up Christ-like leaders, it's unmatched. But then I got here and I was like, I'm not fit for this. Like, I don't see I was carrying literally like an orphan spirit. And literally in this process of adoption, God has showed me that what I was missing was I wasn't seeing myself as a son. Okay, so we're gonna jump in. And literally I was just praying. I was like, okay, God, like, I got here, now what? And he was like, look to my son and see how he handled the situation. So we're gonna open up to Luke 2. Okay, so in this story, Jesus in Luke 2, he's born to two parents, and he was actually like adopted by those two parents because his heavenly father gave Jesus on loan to his two earthly parents, right? He was adopted by them. And what's hilarious is in this story, right, he and his parents go and travel to Jerusalem. They're at the temple. And then his parents leave thinking that Jesus is with them. And as a parent now, I'm like, okay, that would be terrifying. I couldn't believe like leaving my kid somewhere. But what's crazy is Jesus's response in verse 49, when his mom's like, son, where have you been? Your father and I were searching everywhere for you. He says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I was in my father's house? Even at a young age, Jesus was like, I'm a son and I know whose son I am. Okay. Then it goes on and it talks Luke 3. John the Baptist is preparing the way, right? He's baptizing. Jesus goes and gets baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. Yep. And in this moment, while all these people were being baptized, Jesus was being baptized too. Verse 21, and as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Wow. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased.
Wow.
Full transparency, I feel like Pastor Earl has probably preached this message to me like 1,000 times, but it literally just didn't click until I was like in this year season of feeling like I wasn't a son myself.
Whoa.
The truth is Jesus hasn't done anything at this point in his life.
Yeah.
He hasn't performed any miracles.
Whoa.
He's literally just showed up.
Whoa.
And God says, this is my son,
yeah.
This is my daughter, whom I love, and with whom I'm well pleased. That's what he's saying over you. And so then what's crazy after this is, like, I'm sitting and wrestling with this, and I'm like, okay, yes, Jesus is incredible. He's obviously the Son of Man, but Jesus had so many different job titles.
Yeah.
Like, let me walk through some of them with you, okay? Jesus was an intern, okay? Because he had to have learned how to be a carpenter from his dad, so he was an apprentice.
Yeah.
He was, he worked in construction, okay?
Yep.
He was a shepherd.
Yeah.
He was a doctor. He was a pastor, he was a teacher, he was a waiter.
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys might forget he was a bartender, okay? He turned water into wine. Okay, turned up a little bit.
Come on, Thomas, yeah.
He was a fisherman.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a therapist.
Yeah.
He was a weatherman.
Wow.
He was a surfer, I like to think. I mean, because, okay, hear me out, okay? Jesus walked on water, but it said that the waves were really crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus didn't just like walk on calm. He was sliding in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's a surfer, okay? Okay, so Jesus had so many different job titles.
Yeah.
But what does the devil try to come at him with? Well, we see it happen in Luke 4. The very first words from the devil are, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.
Whoa.
You see, the enemy doesn't try to come after your job title because he could care less what your job title is.
Yeah.
He's going to come after your sonship and your daughtership.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so Jesus responds immediately back to him and he's like, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. He's like,
yeah.
Get out of here, bro. I know my identity.
Yeah.
Then he comes back, he tries to tempt him again, and Jesus is like, no, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
Yeah.
And then the devil's petty, he has no new tactics, right? And so then he comes back and he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And then he uses scripture to try to like twist it.
Wow.
And I think sometimes the enemy can use like elevation or elevate our platforms or elevate our thinking or even use things that words of people are spoken over us to make us think, that's what's going to satisfy us. But Jesus is like, no. He says, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test.
Wow.
So what's wild is throughout all of this, I'm reading this, right? And I'm trying to sit with it, trying to like wrestle with it. I'm like, Jesus, what's going on? The craziest part is not only does he have this happen to him with the devil, then he goes back to his hometown in this same chapter. And the first thing that the people say after Jesus speaks is, wait a second, isn't this Joseph's son?
Wow.
His people in his hometown were questioning his sonship still too.
Wow.
And so this is a complete side note here, but if Jesus, what he preaches on in this moment is Isaiah 61. If you haven't read this before, go read it at some point. Like, can I Pastor Earl, can I assign homework, I guess? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Your homework is go read Isaiah 61 after this. The whole way through, I don't have time to get into it, it is talking about sonship language. It is all about the inheritance of God's people. Go back and read it. Jesus is literally talking. He's like, your inheritance is here with you in this place right now. And then they're coming back and like testing his sonship. And so I was wrestling through this all last year, and I got to a place where I was like, okay, Jesus, I'm not understanding. I feel like my job's changing. I feel like what you've called me to do is constantly shifting. How do I handle this? And he told me, what you do matters so much less than who I have called you to be. And who has he called you to be? Quite simply, a son and a daughter. In John 8:36, in the chapter of John 8, Jesus is like arguing with his opponents about who Jesus actually is. And they're like, if you're saying you're the son of God, if you're saying you're the son of man, like that's evil. You can't say that. You don't have the qualifications to say that. And Jesus' response is, whom the son sets free is free indeed. And so if you want to be free, be a son. If you want to be free, be a daughter. And don't let anything come in between that. And as I've learned that this year, I feel like I've stepped more into who God has called me to be. So Father, we just thank you so much that your spirit, your presence is just in us, God, that we are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. I pray that as we just continue to take steps and step more into who you've called us to be, God, as you anoint us more as a church, as you unite us more as a church, God, that we would step up and step in with the sonship that you have called for us to carry, God. I pray that we would continue to have friends who remind us of that peace, God. I pray that we'd be in connect groups, that we'd be connected with one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.